Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you.
God bless you.
I love you, buddy. How do you want to see him? To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out to power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy,
high and
lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
You. Amen. See, then if you do, just open your eyes.
Amen.
You can see him. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1. We say to all of you, Happy Mother's Day. It's a wonderful time. And everything, we appreciate all of the mothers. Because without the mothers, there wouldn't be no fathers. So that's the way we think it. So we appreciate you. We honor you on this day. Amen. And good to have everybody. Good to have, see our sister back there with us. And she's been here before, so she's not a visitor. She's just part of us. Amen. Remember now, the minister's meeting will be this coming Saturday at Brother Gerald Hughes. And Wade and I will be going. If you want to ride with us, let us know and everything. But we'll be going over and back, and Lord willing. And then remember, the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday, and Brother Forney will be here with us 3 o'clock, and we'll be having him for the weekend. So just pray that the Lord would bless and give us a good time in that, you know, in the Lord. We're looking forward to it, right? So Ephesians 1. There's any other announcements? I generally do. The announcements, the things that's been given out unto you are, will be given out as to what, you know, the brothers, the sisters, and the things for fixing for the fellowship meeting and getting everything ready for that. So just, you know, have everything prepared. Amen. Then remember, the Lord willing, then we'll be having Brother Keith Reed with us for the, it won't be on the 4th, because the 4th's on Monday, but it'll be the weekend, be the 2nd and the 3rd of July, because that will be our 40 years here, and we thank God for that. We've had a wonderful time. I've really enjoyed it. And I hope you have. I hope it's been a blessing to you. Amen. Ephesians 1. Father, we thank you and we love you, and we ask you to just come now and speak to our hearts, Lord, as we try to endeavor to speak about you and your word, and to, Lord, just try to give the people what's on our heart as to what we see and what we're at and what we're doing. And, Lord, to bring everything to present tense understanding with each and every one of us. Thank you for being with each one, the sick ones among us. We thank you for touching each one. We ask you to just continue to make the healing manifest, and for us to walk in your love. Thank you for all things. Forgive our sins. Lead us now in thine understanding, and let your light shine in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been speaking about and talking on predestination, and we've come up to the adoptional point, and it will take a while to cover these things on adoption, so we are just, we're going to change the title, and we've got up to about 27, somewhere in there, services on a predestination. It will still be on the same point, but we're just going to change the title today and to start off, say, on adoption. All right, in the next two or three services, I don't know really how many it will take, but it will be, the point will be, is adoption in three stages, or three phases, or whatever you want to make the point. It's hard to sometimes speak words to get what you want to say, like the prophet was saying about, we believe in the three stages of grace. He'd say it like that. Then he'd turn around and he'd say, well, now we don't believe in three stages. Said it's not three stages of grace, but said, because, that would kind of make it different. He said it's three stages of the same grace. It just takes a while for it to be able to come into manifestation, see. So then it's not to say three steps, but yet it is three steps. See, that's what I'm saying. He would say, we believe in that, but then he'd say, now, it's just a continuation. Because, see, if you're justified truly in this day, then you're going to come to the place of sanctification. And then if you're sanctified, you're going to come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, so then it'll be bringing it to an understanding or clarity to where that we can follow it. And all, but we don't want to just make it say this set line. We try to keep it to where we can understand, and that's what we're going to be covering in adoption. You'll see it as we go along. Now, we covered the last message. I've got this up here for us. We've had some extra prayer clause, but I'm laying this up here where we can pray over it and cut up some extra prayer clause and things. But we have some more up here today if you need some. Right. Had a good time yesterday in the Bible study. We all just kind of let our hair down and began to just talk and fellowshipping, and it was really, really enjoyable to be able to just talk about things and the things that God hates, all like that. So it was, we really, the Bible says it, seven things that he hates. And it was like a lying tongue or a proud look or different things, So we just kind of all let our hair down and began just to talk and found out we're all human. We're just all human. We all have problems. And we try not to de-Christianize anybody. We try to be what we are and then try to work on our doings. But it's like the conclusion that we all reached of one thing. For me to try to get you out of a lying tongue or a proud look or et cetera, et cetera, that may be all right, but when I look and see myself, and then I work on myself, because that's the main thing is getting that to the point. All right. Now, but we're going to talk on adoption, and as I said, we're going to cover it in three stages or whatever you want to call it, whatever frame of words you'd like to use. But we saw in our last couple of messages that my point was one thing. There's never been an age that it was predestinated to come forth, as it is in this age. And I hope you followed that in the message that, Moses, he didn't build an ark to try to float the children of Israel out of Egypt. See, because that had already been done. That was for the hour that was there for Noah, and it was a predestinated seed, and it would have to come to pass. And I believe God has things predestinated to where that it can't be changed. Now, we can pray and ask God to change things, and that'll work, but he knows that. So you're not going to pull anything over on him, to try to do it. Don't worry about it. Just keep believing it. But see, I believe in this hour that there is a predestinated people. Now, when it will take place, that is up to God. That's his point. But why can't we start confessing where we're at and what we're believing? We're not in the days of Martin Luther. We believe that. Thank God for the truth. We believe that. We're not in the days of John Wesley. We're not in the days of Azusa Street Pentecost. We're not even in the days of when the prophet of God would be going through the land, you know, bringing the message. We're in the days of the message. See? And really, I like the way that the scripture says the voice of the seventh angel. See? All right? When he begins to sound, all right, that was what he brought unto us. But then when you and I begin to sound the same message, then you can start depending on something to take place. All right, and you say, well, we've been 40 years doing it. Well, all right, so what if we take one more or two more or 10 more? What does it matter? You know, see, everybody's saying, well, I just don't see this and I don't see that. Well, open your eyes. See, I'm going to make this statement, and then I'm not trying to justify nothing. Justification doesn't have to be considered in the fact when you're talking about facts. We are not in the days, as I said, of those coming down. We're not in the days of the great book of Acts when that the Holy Spirit was scattering out and going forth and you know, and bringing the people. We're in the days of the ingathering, when it is supposed to come back to that original word. Well, now, if Satan was back there fighting them real hard on the days they were there, don't you think he's going to be here fighting you and I? And I've always said it. Then that way, then Paul, you couldn't bring Paul down here today. He'd be in jail before night was over with. Because, you know, he'd have that mindset to where that he would just be really screaming and hollering, and it wouldn't work. So they can't take our place, but we can't take their place. They've done their part, now we've got our part. All right, so we went through the scriptures that they without us cannot be made perfect. So they're waiting on you and I. And I believe that. But I believe God has predestinated a seed for the age that we're living, a word, that you and I are to make that manifest, and it is to go all the way into the change of the body. All right. See, then that's predestinated. Now, it's going to take place. Was there any way that Noah would not build an ark? No, because it had already been said. All right. Now, but Noah had to work and build the ark. It wasn't that God said it, and oh, here appears an ark out in the middle of the deserts or somewhere, you know, and it just God just speaks it. No, somebody's going to have to make this word manifest. Now, that's the point I'm trying to make to you and I. We have a word to be made manifest. Let's make it manifest. And let's start talking about it. You know, let's don't just say, well, I don't see nothing. You ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing either. Well, I differ with you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I believe the word is here to be made manifest. It's our choice of what we do with it. All right. But we were talking about it. I said, now, something predestinated for the time, meaning that there's no way to change it. There's not enough devils in hell to be able to stop this bride of Jesus Christ in the last days from coming to the place that God said she'd come to. Now, if he hadn't said she'd come there, that's a different thing. See? But the prophet of God said, it will be here. He said, oh, yes. It will be, because it's done been said. All right? So then we're walking in what is to do. All right? See, we're not back there right after the time of the prophet being on the scene. We're here now. We're in our part of the doings. All right? So everybody's waiting on you and I, and that's what we'll get to in it. But just keep in mind now what I'm saying. We are predestinated to come to the place to fulfill the scriptures in this day that was not fulfilled, has not been fulfilled until this day. All right? So we have a wonderful thing that we're sitting here with the Word of God, realizing that God has told us what we're doing through by way of the prophet, and then all we got to do is just walk therein. All right? But here's what. I'll say this, and then this evening I'll get back to it. But is I told them last night, you can holler and scream all you want to. You can talk about, you know, and I could call your name. I could say, now, Brother Collie, you're doing so-and-so, quit. Well, he might quit around me. Right? But he's not going to quit until God comes on the scene and delivers him from that. Right? He just go undercover. Well, see, that's what people are what... And I'm sorry, I'm just plain language. I talk that away. That's what I see most of the preachers has done over the 30, 40 years that we've been around. They're trying to make converts by government of rules and regulations to try to get people to line up. And that won't work. It never has. And it won't work now. Brother Dale, you don't believe in living right? No, I believe in being born again. I believe in letting God live. And then we'll come out to the right place. All right. But see, in that then, that's why I don't preach like all of these others, you know. But don't think I don't believe in living right. See? I believe in it, but I believe in it from an inward experience coming outward. And then you're not worried. Then that way I drink all the liquor I want to. I run around all I want to. I cuss and lie and cheat and steal all I want to. Because that want to went away. I'd rather deal with it that way than deal with it in any other form. But don't you ever think that, you know, that Brother Dale, because he don't speak out a lot about things, don't believe in living right. I do. I believe in doing it. Because I believe that if we don't live right, there's something wrong with us. And that's simple. You know, I mean, if you live like the devil, you are the devil. That's simple terminologies. That doesn't take a lot of great revelation. You know, we was last night talking about a lying tongues and things. You know, and we went up to a fishing tournament there, and the guy was telling us that all fishermen are liars. You know, well, I don't agree with that. I'm like the old guy that said, you know, I killed 99 rabbits. And the guy said, well, why? My Lord, I'd have just told everybody I killed 100. He said, why lie about one rabbit? I mean, we're not supposed to be liars. We're supposed to be Christians. But now let's get on to it. But see, in this day now, what I'm trying to say, I got it wrote down here and underlined and everything else to try to make a point. Then we'll go into doing it. In this age, we are predestinated unto the completion. Now, are you listening to the word I'm using? The word completion, which means bringing something to a finish. All right. We are to bring to a finish the stages of adoption. And if we don't believe it's in this hour, surely we got to believe it's close. You know. And all the way to what? To understand the redemption of the body. Just because you're adopted, I'll make this point blunt, just because we're even adopted and understand the redemption of the body, that doesn't mean the body is redeemed right there. That's why I'm calling it stages. See? Growth development. Whatever you want to use to be able to understand. Because, see, I believe every age was predestinated. Now, all the way through, whether it would be Luther, Wesley, whatever it would be, every age was predestinated to have and receive the new birth. Amen. Because that would be the qualifications to get into the body of Christ. Amen. You can't get into the body of Christ without being born again. All right? So then in that, then, every age would be predestinated to the new birth. But you and I are predestinated to bring forth the finality or completion of, you know, the stages and the things of adoption to where that we can bring it into that point. And if I use the wrong wording, you make it right. You understand what I'm saying. The prophet would say, we believe in three steps of grace. And he said, no, it's not three steps of grace. See? He's a human being like me that's stumbling for words and things to try to say to get you to see, because one person is saying steps, another person stages, another person this, another person that, and that way your mind is being twisted backwards and forth and all like that. But what I want to do now is just to start off. Said we're just going to title this adoption for a while, and it'll be basically adoption in three stages. But I want us to just start off in the simplicity of understanding, and then that way we'll grow into the things, and you that, you know, have been around a long time, bear with us, because remember, other people are listening out there, and I'm trying to make it as plain as I can. But I believe, too, that we need to understand who we are. That's my point, is understanding who we are and what we're doing. See, the adoptions and the things to me has been made so big until it's made out there somewhere, you know, beyond what we can attain unto. And I don't agree with that. No, I never have agreed with it. I believe that if God says it, we can attain unto it. All right. But see, you'll turn around, people will, and they'll take the great things of the Bible, and as I said a moment ago, and they'll bring up Paul and Peter, and look what took place in the book of Acts. You know, and wonderful, it did. We believe that. But the problem is that they turn around and say, but I don't see it today. You know. See, now what have you done? You've planted a seed of ruination into the minds of people, and you've made it to where that they can't accept what's going on. I'm as honest as I can believe. You bring the book of Acts up here today, and they would be... they'd go haywire. Because Brother Branham said it, I didn't. He said the spirit that was back there to do those things is the same Holy Spirit living in you to manifest the hour that you're living. Did you hear me? The same Holy Spirit that justified the Lutheran, sanctified the Methodist, baptized the Pentecostals, is now setting in order the coming of the Lord. He said it was the same Holy Spirit. But yet we've lost the point of of seeing something like it is. And then when you try to express it, oh, you're just trying to prop up something. No. No, I don't believe it. I'm just telling you like I believe it. You bring the book of Acts people right up here right now and let them live in this environment that you and I are living in, and they'd say, send me back to the book of Acts. Why? Because they fought two organizations. We fought 969. That was a long time ago. And about 10,000 in this message. I'm talking about in the message people. See? You don't have all, they didn't have the doctrines, the existence and things that we have to fight daily through our mind. As Satan coming in and bringing up those things and trying to de-Christianize us in every form. See? Paul would probably pull his hair out if he come up here and live for about a week. And seen all the things. If he was hollering like he was back there, even to turning over who? Philetus and Hymenaeus, even so strong, he said, I just turn you guys over to the devil. You know, what would he do today? With all the doctrinal issues and the situations of life that we're living in here. And see, people say, oh, you're just trying to make an excuse. Well, what's your excuse? Come on. You people are glad to throw it my way, but what's your excuse? Where are you at? Where's your manifestations? I'll stand here all afternoon and not brag, just tell the God's honest truth that I can get amens out of the congregation of how that God has been here with us and great things have taken place. Amen. From the dead raised, the sick healed, all things. Right. But yet people just, well, you know. I don't see nothing going on. Wake up. What are you looking for? It will never take place under that kind of a situation. See? Because you're looking for something that will not take place. Jesus Christ could not heal in one city there. He had to leave the city to heal somebody. And He was Almighty God. But see? We want to look for some kind of great manifestation. The greatest manifestation that I can see anywhere is a group of people that are gradually, slowly holding on and just staying with the Word and battling out Satan over the Word of the hour. Sure, we want to see the sick healed and the dead raised. Right. We want to see those things. Right. But if it's true that Jesus couldn't do a miracle because of their unbelief, bring it down here today. What would He be doing? See? That's where, see, when I start talking like that, everybody thinks that I'm trying to prop up. I'm not trying to prop up nothing. I'm telling it like it is. Where's your signs and wonders? See? I can stand here and talk about what God has done among us. But how many of you even think about those things? Well, we're just not seeing nothing. There's a bunch of sick people among us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says. We're deteriorating. See? All right. But see, I'm just trying to get a point. We belittle our own selves and we let Satan get in our minds and torment us. See? And tell us, say, well, if you got what you thought you had, let's see this, that, and the other. Well, somebody's going to do that one of these days, and you're going to get called down, and that's, I'm sorry. And it won't be somebody with a sarcastic, hateful attitude that'll call you down. It'll be somebody that's standing there knowing the truth is the truth. Brother Run said there'd be Ananias and Sapphira laying all over the place. Now, Peter and them wasn't sarcastic that called Ananias and Sapphira. But there was truth. Amen. But they were standing on the word of the hour. Yeah. All right. See? But listen, why can't we believe what God has said about us? Amen. He's called us bright. He's called us wonderful, marvelous. He's called us beautiful. Why can't we believe that? Well, if I just see something, well, you'll never see it then, because that's your way. Because God doesn't do it that way. He's wanting to see who will stand with the Word. All right? But see, I believe everybody is predestinated according to foreknowledge. All right. But then when you go into foreknowledge, you must take another step from foreknowledge to come to the predetermining of the word or seed. All right. See, He knows where it'll fall. That's foreknowledge. But predetermining is the fact that He Himself said it will take place. All right. And there's the word or seed. All right, so this is the age. This is the time to talk about adoption. Because that's what the whole world's waiting on. Yeah. All right? Now, I know you don't like me and everything. People don't, but I'm telling the truth. As I said, the Lord Jesus went into a city, couldn't even heal a person because of their unbelief. Bless God, I can go in and heal them all. No, we don't go that way. I've been around long enough, and people say, I take every spirit in here under my control. Be careful. Yeah. Be careful. Because Satan is not a bully. Sure, he's a bluff. But it's kind of like old boy that we all know, Billy Free. You know, he'd run his mouth. And he always was lying like crazy and running his mouth and everything else, but old boy down there at work one day challenged him on something. Well, old Billy just beat the daylights out of him, so he backed up what he's talking about. Well, Don't pry. You better have the goods. Remember my point? No person is a match for the devil, right? But the Holy Spirit in the least member of the body of Christ is not just a match for the devil. He's the devil's master. All right? See? Then don't back down. Let's go on with it. All right. But we want to cover it, see? All right. Adoption. I said we're going to talk about it in three stages. And using it, we're going to use the Lord Jesus as a background because that was the way that it was done by the prophet. I wish that you would go. There's probably at least 30 or 40 Hear Ye Hymns. There's a lot of tapes called Position in Christ. There's messages called Adoption. There's all kind of things. I wish you would go that. We have books on it, on adoption and everything. I wish you would study that. And listen to the prophet as he explains the things about adoption, you know, and to where that we can get on with it. All right? Now, in doing that, let's take it in three stages, and we'll take it like the Lord Jesus. All right? Now, the Lord Jesus on the River Jordan was identified. That's where it said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell." Now, don't go to the Hear Ye Him. Wait until the Mount of Transfiguration on that point. But remember that he was recognized there on the River Jordan. We could read those scriptures, but you can read them yourself. That's Matthew 3. See? All right? He was recognized before the world as to be Almighty God. "This is my part of the earth," the prophet said, "future home, that I have redeemed, and from this part of the earth I'll redeem the rest." Right there was all that we have need of in Jesus Christ. It was all that we have need of. He was identified as what? The Son of God. All right? He was identified. Okay? The world saw, you know, whatever was there, and then it's recorded and put around the world, and Bibles have been written. So the world has to witness that Almighty God came down and verified that this was His Son. Not Trinitarianisms or nothing like that. See, it was God coming down Himself. But He identified Him there and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell." All right. Then the second stage would go over, which would be manifestation or authority. And that would carry you over to Mount of Transfiguration, which would be Matthew 17. And then in that situation, it shows Him glorified. Now, on the River Jordan, He wasn't showed as glorified. Right. He's just identified. Right. All right. Are you listening?
Right.
Write it down, see. Jot down the little points of what we're thinking on. See, first He was identified. There was no great manifestations. He was just identified on the River Jordan. A voice from heaven, see. "This is my beloved Son." All right. But then when you come over to Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, see, then Jesus was glorified before them. The prophet of God said adoption glorifies Jesus Christ. All right. Now, and being glorified, see, then He comes out with full authority. Okay? "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye Him." All right. Now, I was just looking at it back there a while ago. I was reading. I invite you to go and read them and pay close attention to the things Brother Branham says on it. He said that when Jesus was on the River Jordan, said He said, "What He says is what is said." He said, "River Jordan." See, we won't, all of it flops over to Transfiguration. No, because He was the child of God. He was God made manifest in human flesh. All right? He had authority. He had, manifestations. before it come to Mount of Transfiguration, right? As a matter of fact, there's a whole lot more there before than there was, because it's only like three, you know, mostly 6 months or something or less from the time that he goes to Transfiguration, he goes straight to Calvary. The biggest portion of the healings, the signs, and the wonders was back in his early ministry. Right?
Right.
In other words, it even got to the basis that it looked like he was losing everything. Go back in his early ministry where he could just speak it and this would happen or that would happen. Seemingly when it gets down to the later parts of going towards Calvary, that it looked like he was losing things. But yet that point that I've tried to make, see, you don't see Jesus glorified on River Jordan. You see him identified. But when you come to the Mount of Transfiguration, it showed him in his glorified state. Completion. Finished. Right there in him was everything. Right? Then he goes on. And he's crucified. All right. And then when he comes up, the body raises. So we'll get back to Romans and when we get to it, you know, about to wit, to understand the redemption of the body. Right there, his body was redeemed. Not that it was sinful, but because it had a beginning. And anything that has a beginning has to have an ending to it. See, his body was not eternal as he was dwelling on earth. All right. Now, I know these are simple things, but that's what I'm trying to do. Drop down now, and then we'll go up gradually. So bear with us, you know. But, you know, I've always been one thing that I love to hear people talk about their experiences. You know, I sure do love to do water baptisms and things. I love to do that. And I love to view things of where people are baptized and see things like that. Because I can talk about your experience there. Because I had one of them, you know. That's where I can enjoy it. So I'm not so great revelated until I just go to sleep. And I'll wake back up when Brother Dale gets on up a few more stages, you know, and all, because I'm so much far above that. Well, I'm telling you right now, then, you're the one I'm talking about. You're not above that if that's what you think. Sorry. That's just the way it is. We should be able to rejoice with everybody. All right. But after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, you'll find him then in Matthew 28. Now, after his resurrection, you don't find the scripture that we quote a lot of time, but you'll find it after the resurrection when Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." That's after the resurrection. See? But we quoted as he had all power and authority. They said he couldn't heal because of the unbelief. He had to put people out because of the unbelief. But you don't hear him after the resurrection having to put nobody out. See? So then in the minute, the life, the ministry, and the things of the Lord Jesus. See, then we see the three stages that we talk about in adoption. Identification. He was identified as a child of God. All right. Then coming to full authority or manifestation of the "hear ye him" on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then coming up to a change of the body. Yeah. Bringing it to a position to where that then he would say, "All power in heaven and earth is now given unto me."
Amen.
After his resurrection. All right. Now, see then, doing it like this, now let's take ourselves. Let's take ourselves. All right? Through these things that we talk about. You know. And see if we can see in ourselves the things that took place in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And remember, see, here's where everybody's at. This is what, and I'm sorry, I'm blunt, and I know it. But see, that's where people say, well, I'd like to see you do what Brother Branham done. I can't do it, and you can't either.
Right, man.
So don't toot your horn. See, you run around, oh, Brother Dale thinks he's something. Let's see him do what the prophet done. Well, let's see you do what the prophet done. Of course, nobody ain't going to listen that way. They're going to get to, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep, yep, yep. That's old garbage can. That's that running mouth we was talking last night, the lying tongues and the things we were talking about. Yeah. It's really easy to brag, right? Until you stand in front of somebody that's got the goods. Right. Right. You know, you really brag. But stand in front of somebody that's got the goods. You see them shut up. And I know I shouldn't be that point, but my point is, we're down here a long ways, 40 years after the going away of the prophet. What are you looking for? What are you looking for to take place to bring about a resurrection and a rapture? And how many definitions would we get? I love what Brother Branham said. He said, God is not going to send a headstone because of your merits. He said he will send it because he promised it. Because there's no merits in any of us for anything. Why are we think we're so much greater than any of the other churches around? There's only one difference, and that's the Holy Spirit. And they have the anointing that a lot of times makes us ashamed of ourselves. But then they turn down the word so you know there's something wrong. All right. So give me the word. Oh, Brother Dale, you're just word, word, word. Will you tell me what it's supposed to be? Yeah. There's one thing about it you can't say about this old boy you're looking at. Those on the internet don't know it, but the people around here have and the ones that's been around. You know this old boy's never been down about what God has done. Most people are looking for what God will do. I look back and see what God has done. And I stand on what God has done, the things that we've seen him do. All right? And in that other way, see, I'm not trying to be Brother Branham. Mm-mm. But who are you? You know, I got in trouble about that being said, you're not J.R. and I'm not Sue Ellen. I got in trouble that years ago trying to explain something about it. But it's a plain, honest truth. People want to run their mouth, but you let them get in front of somebody that really knows what they're talking about.
Amen. That's right.
Huh? Oh, yeah, they'll shut up then, see, because they know.
Right.
But now my point of what? Jesus went through three stages. Identification. Authority or manifestations. When he come to Mount of Transfiguration, Brother Branham said simply in plain language, he said, God said, I'm backing off. If you hear anything, you'll get it from him. That's why there was not a lot said. Between Mount of Transfiguration and Calvary, there was not a lot said. Read your Bible. It covers it real quick. Why? Because God stepped back and said, if you hear anything, you'll get it there. That's to me, when Brother Branham come to his ministry, there in 63 in the opening of the seals, that was to me was the ministry of the prophet. Everything got real quiet except what he was saying. And the only way we can hear from God is to hear it through that man. I've said that and I don't back up. He said, well, so-and-so, I don't care about so-and-so. Tell me what the word says. The man brought us the message, but it's up to us to get into the message and live the message. Not just talk about a message, but become the alive word upon earth. That's all I've ever said that we're supposed to do. But in doing that, what are we looking for to take place? Now, that's on me, so forgive me. I mean, what are we looking to take place? Why can't we talk about what God has done? Why can't we talk about what God has done among us?
Amen.
Is it exalted to tell the truth? But you see, no, people don't want to hear it like that. Why? Because their preachers in their pulpits, see, has blinded them to the point of what the truth really is. And see, it's not that way. But see, Jesus was identified. And to do that, you know what he had to have? Now let's see if we can say we've been through these stages, all right? Because I'll just take a little bit at a time and we'll go along, and then just the next message will be a continuation. But see, Jesus went to River Jordan. Now, where was any sick healed and dead raised and manifestation? You got one man standing there, which was John the Baptist, that said he saw it. And it was not necessary that anybody else see it. Right? It's not recorded that millions stood by and saw all these things. It's only recorded that John saw the Spirit descending. So we got John's word. And we got the word of God that would speak from, you know, God's word speaking from heaven, that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Amen. No sick healed, no dead raised. I hope you're listening. But he had to be baptized, right? Why did Jesus have to be baptized? We've been through that, right? The prophet's been through that. He explained it, right? The sacrifice had to be washed. See? All right? So having to be washed, he had to be baptized. He said, it's natural that I be baptized with thee, you know. Why comest thou unto me? He said, let's just fulfill all righteousness. Let's do what the Bible says.
Amen. Right.
All right? And we know that he did not have to receive the new birth. Right? He was the new birth. But he went through as an example for you and I. And see, publicly he was baptized by the only man that was capable of doing it. Right? A fuzzy bearded old man standing out in the water with long hair and an old sheepskin wrapped around him. Why wasn't Caiaphas brought out to baptize Jesus? Why wasn't all them great leaders, you know, let me, I'm the one supposed to, let me go baptize. No. The only man that could have baptized him, the only man that could identify him was John the Baptist. You agree? All right. Now what about our water baptism? I remember Brother Dick years ago has asked me a question. That's when we first started talking. He said, is water baptism essential? I thought for a minute, and I thought, well, I've got to have an answer. And this is what I said. I said, the truth is. So you can say, well, can you get in the kingdom? Well, this man on the cross got in the kingdom. And this one, you know, see, you just argue all you want to about it. That don't influence me at all. See? Do you think you can get into the kingdom of God without being baptized? Now, we're not talking about the thief on the cross. Okay? We're not talking about that the Holy Ghost, and it can fall on people before they're baptized, right? But you tell me it fell on somebody and then they refused to go get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you, you're a liar and that other person's a liar. Because I don't agree with it. The Bible tells you how to get into the kingdom. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. See, because that's your identification. Now, you say, but no, he was a son. All right, we're going to get to that, okay? Don't worry about it. Don't get ahead of me. Just follow me. See, he had to be baptized to prove that he was the sacrifice. Are you listening? Your baptism don't save you. Right? But without it, you can't have salvation. No problem, is it? Now, get what I'm talking about. It was part of Jesus' identification that he be washed in a baptism. It's part of our identification for us to be washed in water in a baptism. It don't make us the children of God. No. It's an answer of a good conscience. All right? See, now you got the people, you know, that believe it's water baptism under regeneration and stuff. We don't believe that. But we believe that water baptism is essential to those that know the truth to be able to receive salvation. All right? So now, his water baptism didn't make him a child. You follow me? It was part of his identification as a child. The Holy Spirit that came down upon Jesus on the River Jordan never made him a child of God. There's where your River Jordan people, the way they're going, that's their business. It never made him a child of God. He was born a child of God. This day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It didn't make him a Savior. It didn't make him a child of God. It just identified him before the world. See? In other words, here he is. All right. Now, your baptism doesn't save you. All right. And it does not make you a child of God. It only identifies you. Why wouldn't you want to be identified? To me, it's like a woman going down and wanting to get married to a man, and then she wants to keep her maiden name. That's garbage can to me. I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to marry somebody like that. I just won't do it. You can do what you want to. That's your business. You're left in your world. I'm in mine. But I'm not going to do it. Because you're not identified. Marriage identifies you. You ever looked up the definition of adoption or adopt? Then you wonder why I'm talking about marriages or something like that. See, when you're baptized in water, you're taking on his name. Amen. Right? Amen. You're testifying to the world that you've left your old husband. He's dead.
Amen. That's right.
And you're going to be married to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And you come out to be a spouse, right? Have you ever looked up adopt? Adopt is to take by choice into a relationship. To take by choice into a relationship. To take voluntarily a child of other parents as one's own child. The word adopt means to choose. Choose you this day who you'll serve. It means to embrace. Now think about your water baptism. Come on. You know that the word adopt means to espouse. Now I just wrote this out of Webster, so if you argue with him, you know. Let's read what it says on Strong's Concordance about adoption. It says adoption of children, adoption of sons, adoption of sons. That relationship, you don't have it in your notes, so don't. That relationship which God was pleased to establish between himself and the Israelites in preference to all other nations.
Right.
Now, he adopted them.
Right?
They become espoused. The nature and condition of the true disciples in Christ, who by receiving the Spirit of God into their souls become sons of God. It also includes the blessed state looked for in the future life after the visible return of Christ from heaven. Right. Espoused. Engaged. Right? See, when you went down in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you were supposed to die.
Right?
Right? And I like what that brother in Germany said that time. He said, when we baptize them, said we want them to have their mouth wide open. He said, because that's the first thing that needs to be cleaned. And I hollered amen when he said, of course he was talking about when it was like 15 degrees, you know, and you know, ooh, you know, see, your water baptism has a lot more to do with it than just your thinking about it. Well, just the way we I'm sure we're going down today and get dunked. Brother Brown said, turn around and go back, you're not worthy.
Amen.
Jesus was identified by his baptism. Then a voice from heaven identified him before the world as his child. Right? But you know, he was always a child. Why? Because he was God. Now, if you were listening to what the definition of adoption gave and to whereby that God adopted Israel out of all the nations of the world, he chose them. He adopted them. He espoused them to himself. Said, you're a peculiar people. Mm-hmm. See, your water baptism shows to the world that you've taken on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, you want to do it secretly because you don't want nobody to be around, then don't ask me to do it, because that's, you know, I'm sorry, because I don't like it that way. I like for you to just be straight and honest. And when Brother Dick and them came up 2 years ago to be baptized, and Sister Gail, she said, well, Brother Dale said, I'm going to be baptized too. I said, well, great, because I was only dependent on baptizing Brother Dick and Brother Al. And, you know, I said, well, that's great. That's great. She said, yeah, I'm going to get baptized because my husband wants me to. I said, I won't baptize you. That's what I said. But we talked on for a little while, and I looked at her and grinned, and I said, sister, you're not pulling nothing over on me. I said, you really see it. She said, yes. I said, okay, I'll baptize you. She might have been in honor of husband and all. I said, sure, that's wonderful. That's great. But I want, you know, you to understand that your baptism was a day that meant a lot more to you than you ever thought about. It meant a day that you was identified. And you took on his name. And you know what that is? That's adoption. But see, we think, oh, it's got to be this, it's got to be that. No. It's simply something you're going through.
Amen.
Right? And we've been going through it a long time.
Amen.
But you see, everybody wants to look at something out there. We're no more than what it used to be, and I'm not throwing off on nobody, but the old good old Baptist doctrine, one of these days we're going to get up to heaven. I don't know whether I'm saved or not, but one of these days I'll know I'm saved. Well, They were just speaking what they believed in their mind. But I thought we were supposed to know we're saved. I thought we were supposed to know something about it. All right. But now listen. So then your water baptism is when you were identified. So you started your adoption. No, not Brother Dale. I got the quotes where the prophet. Well, okay, I gave you the quotes, and I got plenty more. We know the whole story, and we know that your new birth is not your adoption. I'll be glad to give you those quotes, because it's not the adoption for this age. This age is the change of the body, the finish, the authorities, etc. We'll get to those things. Just don't run ahead. But see, you got to start somewhere. Now, how did you ever become a child of God? See? How did you become a child? Well, I always was. I'm born a son of God. So was everybody in the world. Everybody in the world was born the son of God or a daughter of God, because God is the only one that can give life. But that don't give you eternal life just because that you are a child of God. God is the only creator of life. Satan cannot give you a soul. He can't do those things. He can only pervert. So every person that's born into the world is a child of God by natural birth, because God gave us life. All right? So now that solves that problem. So we're all a child of God by natural birth. All right. But now that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. He said, yeah, but my natural birth made me a son of God. He said, you don't get in the kingdom I'm talking about with that form of terminologies. You got to be born again. All right. See, then, had he made it to the day of Pentecost, he'd have been all right. Okay? But now listen to what I'm trying to say. You say, but I was born the child of God. That's in the message now, see. I always was eternal and all this, that, and the other. That's up to them. You know. But see, I believe you must receive eternal life. I'm just sorry. That's the way I believe it. If you don't believe it, turn your computer off. You know, click it off. It won't give me one dime and help me no popularity. Just, you know, forget it. You don't listen to somebody else, listen to them. See? But if you want to talk about the truth, see, I believe in an old-fashioned form of salvation. I believe you must be justified. I believe you must repent of your sins, and be that chops off your past sins, and you must then by doing that, you must go to the water and get baptized. And if you refuse to get baptized, your repentance is not genuine.
Right. Right. Amen.
That's how I believe it. Then you must continue on to a state of sanctification, the cleansing and setting aside.
Amen.
And then you must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that baptism of the Holy Ghost makes you a child of God in the kingdom of God. You're not talking about just sonship because of creation. You're talking about a new creation. You're talking about being born again in the body of Jesus Christ. Right? See, because we get into Scripture, you go through all if you want to. In Ephesians, let's read just a little bit. In Ephesians 2. Let's see. Let me make sure I got my scripture. Yeah, 2. All right. Let's see what Paul thought about us. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. All right. Oh, I always was eternal. I could just feel it. Yeah. Well, Paul said you were dead in trespasses and sin. All right. Since wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world.
Amen.
Now, you remember that?
Yeah, right.
according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, who's the prince of the power of the air? That's Satan. Right. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, the same thing that's in the children of disobedience was in you and I. Paul, as we were talking about last night, said that there was murderers, adulterers, whoremongers, all kind of things read during the scripture. And he said, and such were some of you. But said, now you are clean.
Amen.
Why? Because you're born again. Right?
Amen.
Among whom also we all, and I got a great big square around mine right there, had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But Paul, you ain't never heard Brother Branham. Brother Branham said always was eternal. So I'll tell you what Brother Branham says. I ain't gonna listen to you, Paul. Right? Is that the way people are? Now, if Brother Branham was contrary to Paul, then Paul was wrong, Brother Branham's wrong, or both of them's wrong. Because they both can't be right if they're in opposite directions. That's just blunt and plain language, right? All right, drop on down to where we get to save. Look at verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, what is it? I got it in here right somewhere. Galatians, I think. Where is the one where it says, "And adoption pertained unto Israel"? See, we had no rights. Now, I want to finish that up in just a few minutes of just talking about that, and we'll just stay right here on this. See, we haven't talked about the new birth now. We're just talking about water baptism and things we're going through. See, then the children of Israel had to be chosen. Right? Everybody was a child of God by natural creation. But God chose a group of people and connected himself to that and called them his wife or his people or his children. He adopted them. He chose them. He chose Israel. He adopted Israel. But see, you and I didn't even have any right of that. That's what Paul's explaining. We were Gentiles. No rights whatsoever. The adoption was what was pertaining to Israel. In other words, Israel should have went on through in the fact of receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior, the new birth, and then should have went on to Mount of Transfiguration experience, and then went on to the change of the body. But they turned it down. It became a Gentile dispensation, right? Now, not every Jew turned it down. Right? That's why it's called a Gentile dispensation, which it means all nations. But Israel as a whole rejected Jesus Christ. Even rejected this sonship, adoptions and things. It was pertaineth unto them. We were aliens. They didn't come up with that new word in the last days, you know, talking about illegal aliens and aliens from outer space and this, that, and the other. That was in the Bible. And you look up back there and you find out illegal aliens mean somebody that's here illegally, and that's why they call them an alien, you know. Or an alien from outer space means they're not from here. So then Israel was we were an alien Gentiles. We had no promise. Nothing pertaining to the Gentiles. But God through mercy, if you went on reading them below there. Gave us an opportunity to be able to come, become the children of God. To be able to be born again that would make us a child of God. And if you're not born again, you're not a child of God. I don't care how much you claim church. I don't care how much you claim how good you are, whatever. All that's wonderful. All that's good, well and good. But Nicodemus had every bit of that. And Almighty God said, you got to go down yonder. In other words, let me say this and we'll finish it. Nicodemus, come the way I've come. Right? Was that what he's saying to him? Come the way I've come. Nicodemus, are you willing? That's like I said, it's not written in the Bible all the things that take place. Reckon it could have been Jesus said, Nicodemus, what you need to do first. Maybe after Nicodemus got through saying, you mean I got to go back to my mother's womb, I got to do this, that, and the other. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, what I need to do, said, you need to meet John the Baptist. Now, hey, I know the story, and by then he was already crucified. Don't get me in garbage, okay? Get the point. Jesus could have said to Nicodemus, what you need to do is meet me down to water, right in front of everybody, down there on River Street, you know, right in the middle of where Ohio River, you know, or something, where it would be right out in the public, you know, and said, we'll start you off in the right way. Said, we'll baptize you. Nicodemus went away rejecting that rite, right? So he wouldn't follow it. What about you and me? What about our water baptism? I've baptized a lot of people over because that they said to me, and they come along later in life and say, Brother Dale, I really didn't understand about baptism. I just done it because everybody else was doing it. You know, I just done it because it, maybe the preacher told me I needed to do it. Well, I've baptized a lot of people over again. Huh? And I'm like this. If you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but believing that your water baptism was unto regeneration, like the people that baptized, if people baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, even Lord Jesus Christ, and believing that your water baptism is under regeneration, I'm just as honest as it can be. If I was you, I'd get baptized again. Brother asked me that question one time, and I answered him. I said, what was your doctrine? He said, we believed in water baptism under regeneration. I said, I would, if I was you, I'd go get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and get away from that doctrine. Well, I don't believe the doctrine no more. No, but my identification. You see, I want to be identified with Jesus Christ. My brother come down through there one day and was baptizing a bunch of people. He said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself baptizing them people. And he wasn't sarcastic. He was no racist or nothing. But it's just what he said. He said, you was baptizing them black people. He said, they was coming out of that water white as could be. He said, they froze to death. I said, yeah, but we was doing it. And he wasn't throwing off on races. He wasn't that way. He was just saying, here I am, you are right out there doing that. Why don't you come down here and get some church and do it? They wouldn't do it back then, you know. I mean, you're going to go down to the Baptist church and ask permission to use their baptistry and go and baptize the people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to get in there. That's just plain language. You just might as well go get you a river and take care of it. But you see, I want to be identified. I'm like Martin Luther. They said, Martin Luther, don't you know that the whole world is against you? He said, I want the whole world to know that I'm against them. But I'm trying to get you to see the simplicity of the life and journey. Now listen, I'll keep repeating this, okay? Your life and your journey in travel is what God is looking at. And why can't we believe that we've come through these things? See? We want to make statements, you know, and I was looking today in there, and we say, in adoption, Brother Branham will say, see, your children are out there wearing shorts. So, well, they wasn't Christians. See, we like to do that, don't we? You know, he said there's Christians. You're going to have to argue with him. Well, you believe you can go out and do it? No, we're different now. But you know, there was a time back there when you done a lot of things that you claimed a new birth. And you done a lot of things that you don't do now. Right? Well, did you become a Christian later? Or was you a Christian? Brother Branham was a straight, honest man. He said, your Christians are going out here forming organizations, pulling apart and dividing. Now, I'm quoting him because I'm just looking at it. He said the congregational wholeness, he said they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said the Church of God, he said they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said the oneness had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, yeah, but I don't see how they could. See, that's what I'm saying. You're taking your own intellectual conception and not looking at the children of God. And just remember, there is no big sin and little sin. So if we're going to de-Christianize everybody, then we'll have to de-Christianize ourselves first. He said, well, they didn't come on to the message. Well, now, if they didn't come on to the message, they proved what they had. Thing. That's why I love what the prophet had to say one day, and it really struck me. I knew where the Baptists laid in the lines back there, and the days and the hours they lived, and their doctrines and ideas. But it's long about somewhere in the late 50s or might be even early 60s. He said the Baptists has just now become a denomination. And I thought, Lord, I thought it was a couple of hundred years ago. But you see, when they turned down his message, they all become denominations. They died when they turned down his message. There was honest-hearted people still in there until he couldn't come along with it. So when the prophet says that they're Christians, you got to say they're Christians. Just say what he says. They're Christians. But then we prove what we are, because if we don't go on with the truth. But just take it. Stages of your adoption. And we're just talking about water baptism. But you know, that's something I've lived through. Come on, brother. That's something we've all lived through, right? And you know, God looks back there and he's pleased with that. See, we don't take that and bring it down to ourselves where it says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. We want all of this big thing way over yonder, but we don't look at it as simple life that we're living. What's keeping you from going out into the world today? Let's stand. What's keeping you from going out into the world of sin today? I thought it was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thought it was Christ in you, the hope of glory, what was doing it. I thought that's what led us here. You know? And then we don't think something's been going on. See, we're always looking forward or looking backward. We can look backward and we can see Brother Branham and we can say, oh, if we just had it like that. And look forward out there, and oh, one of these days we get into glory. And fail to see what's going on. I want to make adoption so simple. Until we can see that that's what's taking place. Something has been taking place. We're in a process. Sure, I'm not where I want to be. But I'm not where I used to be. And just move on. What do we got, brother?
129.
Anybody have a need? You have a need, come and let's believe.
Have you been baptized into the body? Baptized with the Holy Ghost? way to enter in it, just as they did on Pentecost. Are you in the church triumphant?
See, God has been doing something, but do we recognize it? Do we recognize what he's been doing? He's been getting the people ready. Right? But do we believe it? Amen. All right. Our brother needs a physical touch. And we believe right here is the spot, right? Okay, let's believe it. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for manifesting your word. Thank you for being what you are. And Lord, just help us now as we would, Lord, be able to believe you and to move on in you. Thank you for touching our brother because we believe it. And this prayer cloth is a contact to believe it. And we thank you, Lord. We just lay it all into your hands, and we believe you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else that have a need before we go? Anybody else? Are you in the church triumphant? Are you in the Savior's bride?
We have prayer cloth in Forest Forest. She's in college and really struggling. Does a wonderful job at the shop. Does a wonderful job with her family.
Father, you heard our sister, Lord. And we believe you. And thank you. And Lord, as this prayer cloth goes, then be with the children. Be with them in school and the things, Lord. And just help them. And let them see you. But be with each one of us, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Be baptized into the body and forevermore.
Do you believe? Then let's accept what God has done. And let's see how simple it is to be a Christian. It's not a great big thing. It's just being a Christian. It's being born again. I am fun. You're dismissed.
Father, just be with her. Everybody, take care of us, Lord. Bless and guide each one of you. In Jesus' name.